Guru Tunes there from Starlight with Picnicking on 2SER. It's about 9:15, and Israel Folau, rugby player Israel Folau's recent comments on Instagram that gay people will go to hell unless they repent have revealed an underlying homophobia we continue to observe in Australian sports culture. Now, Rugby Australia officially criticized Folau's comments, but did not impose any sanctions against him. This response has left many cold, feeling Rugby Australia did not go far enough. To help us explore homophobia in Australian sports culture and Rugby Australia's response, we have Ryan Storr, a lecturer in sport development at Western Sydney University. Thanks for joining us this morning, Ryan.
No problem.
So, Ryan, how do Folau's comments measure up to homophobic comments we've heard in the past from sports figures?
Well, it's kind of come as a bit of a regular occasion. So we had Margaret Court saying certain things, obviously from kind of a religious background again. But then a couple of weeks ago, the New Zealand weightlifter was competing, the transgender athlete Laurel Hubbard, and the chief exec of the weightlifting Federation in Australia said that she should be banned and things like that. So there's a range of ways of saying things. Obviously, Folau is on the end of the spectrum in terms of saying that gay people go to hell. But there's lots of other comments and everyday comments around, especially transgender athletes in the competitions, that maybe don't have as much bite to them, but they're still actually quite impactful. So these are becoming quite regular. And one of the things that we are seeing is that they're not addressed the same way as the forms of discrimination. Mm-hmm. If there were comments made about racism or indigenous communities, things like that, disability, they're addressed appropriately.
So homophobia is a little bit more normalized within sports?
Yes, and I do think that part of the marriage equality debates is kind of facilitated that, and this whole idea, and often spoken about free speech, and I can say what I want, and using religion to kind of hide behind. Well, yes, you can have free speech, etc., but when that has an impact on other people and is actually discriminatory, then that's when we have a problem. And I think we're going to have a lot more conversations around people using religion to actually discriminate against people, because sport is sports a really interesting one, because it's exactly the same workplace as other places. But if you were to go in and make comments like that, or even on your own social media in the workplace, in a corporate environment, I don't think you would be able to get away with them like Folau has.
Yeah. So with, you know, Rugby Australia's response, they've said, you know, we're not, you know, we don't approve of this, but we're not going to do anything officially to, you know, sanction Folau on this. Is this, what do you think of this decision? Is this sufficient? Is this enough kind of in response to it, or do they need to do more?
So one thing I will say, it is a complex decision in terms of social media use, vilification policies, all that type of thing. So it is a difficult decision. However, just because it's a difficult and complex decision doesn't mean that it can be disregarded. So they did actually give a fine to a player a couple of years ago for a homophobic slur on the pitch. There was an incident in rugby a couple of weeks ago where a player used a homophobic slur again. He had a 4-week ban. So I think in any other instance, he would be sanctioned appropriately. However, you've got the complex issue that he's negotiating contracts and is happy to walk away, etc. There's been media articles about the fact that if he does walk away and they rub him up the wrong way, basically, he can just walk away and then there's a World Cup year next year and it's going to be bad for the sport. However, if you want that type of behaviour and athlete within your sport and you think that your sport is very, very dependent on one player who holds homophobic attitudes, then I think you would need to assess the culture of your sport and the depth of talent amongst other players.
Now, Ryan, it does. These comments do kind of have the feeling of a delaying tactic, in sort of like, oh, we're not going to do anything right now, but we're going to kind of look at it. Do you feel like Rugby Australia is trying to grapple with this problem properly, or are they just kind of putting it off and trying to ignore it?
Well, to be honest, I don't know. So they're a member of Pride in Sport, which is the benchmarking inclusion system for Australia. And they were a founding member a couple of years ago. So they have links and they have contacts at Pride Sport who they can readily speak to. I'm not sure what conversations, if any, have gone on about that. And it seems to be very reactive in terms of responding to it rather than have a contingency. Like, these type of things happen all the time. Tennis Australia was a good example of the whole Margaret Court thing. It was very reactive, but you know these kind of things happen, and surely they should have a plan in place and have things set in stone to be able to write. If this happens or a player says this, this is how we respond accordingly. So they are kind of putting it off, and I think they were trying to just brush it under the carpet as such. But the sponsors are now getting involved. So I know Qantas and a couple of others are putting pressure on them to be saying, look, you need to handle this appropriately. So I don't think we've seen the last of this, and I think it will be interesting to see how they respond and other sports respond, especially in the area of like where the AFL had the transgender athlete, Hannah Mountain. They didn't do a very good job about that. So sport isn't really quite ready, I think, for all of these LGBTI issues, and that's, that's been seen in how they're dealing with these issues.
Well, there's also an argument to be made that the responsibility doesn't lie just on the organization itself, but also on viewers and people who, you know, participate actively in the sport. Obviously, a lot of people who, you know, observe this kind of thing will kind of put it aside and be like, well, I just watch it for the sport and so forth. Do viewers have a responsibility when it comes to issues like this in terms of how they interact with the sport and what they say and what they do as a result of it?
Yeah, so that's a very, very good question, million-dollar question. I've had conversations with sports organisations. At the end of the day, like national sport organisations and state sport organisations can't necessarily control the fans, etc. So a good example is the Western Sydney Wanderers. They had a couple of incidents last year around the homophobic banner and things like that, and they were saying, look, at the end of the day, we can't control that fan group, and We're a big organisation. We can't deal with every single participant and viewer. However, they set the culture. One of the things in the UK that we've been seeing is if, for example, at football stands and football matches, English soccer, sorry, if someone reports or hears homophobic things in the crowd, if they're allocated a seat, that seat number's given to the stewards, etc., and they're thrown out and given a ban. It could be a lifetime ban.
Right.
So they're setting a strong precedent to say that we will not accept homophobia, discrimination, etc., in our sport. That isn't the case here, and Rugby Australia have demonstrated a very good job that isn't the case here either.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Ryan, for joining us this morning to expand upon this and kind of explore the issue a bit.
No problem. Thanks
very much. And that was Ryan Storr, a lecturer in sport development at Western Sydney University, talking about Israel Folau and the comments on Instagram that gay people will go to hell unless they repent. I think good point made there about sports culture and responsibilities that, you know, where they lie. It's about it's almost 9:30 here on the Daily. Going to be having the news headlines for you. Then we're going to be talking, continuing our Bible double feature by looking at the importance of Bible literacy in modern Australia. How important is the Bible to understanding our cultural heritage and cultural reality right now? We'll find out. But for now, this is a track from Eleanor Friedberger, Make Me a Song on 2SER. Hope your morning's going very well.